Okay, let's dive into this. We're looking at some source material today, basically a white paper, some related articles, and it's all focused on, well, a really critical thing in hearing testing, how different headsets handle background noise.
Yeah, it's a fundamental challenge. Ambient noise, it can easily cover up the quiet sounds you're trying to test. It just masks them, makes the results unreliable. And well, the standard fix has always been the sound booth, right?
Right, the big soundproof box, which isn't always practical or available everywhere you might want to test. So these sources, they look at different types of headsets, the transducers technically, and they evaluate how well they block out that noise using something called M-panels.
Exactly. Maximum permissible ambient noise levels. It's based on the ANSI S3.1 standard. Basically, it tells you how loud the background noise can be at each frequency, and you can still get an accurate hearing test result, usually down to like 0 dBHO.
Okay, so zero hearing loss.
Right. So if a headset blocks noise really well.
It'll have higher M panels.
Exactly. Higher numbers mean it can handle a noisier room.
Got it. Okay, so our mission here for you listening is to sort through this comparison. Which headsets, which transducers give you the best noise blocking, especially if you can't use a perfect sound booth? What do you actually need for results you can trust?
And what's really striking in the data is just how different they are. The performance varies hugely. You've got the old school super oral ones that just sit on the ear.
Like the classic screening headphones.
Yeah. Then circumoral ones that cup around the ear, insert earphones that go in the ear canal. And even these integrated systems built specifically for this sort of boothless idea.
Okay, and looking at the comparison table they put together in these sources, the big takeaway seems to be, well, not all headphones are created equal for blocking noise. The super oral ones, the ones on the ear, they seem to be the weakest.
Generally, yes. It's just harder for them to get a really good, consistent seal against the head. So noise leaks in more easily. Their MPLs are typically the lowest, especially, at those lower frequencies, 125 hertz, 250 hertz, where you get a lot of environmental noise.
Right, the air conditioning hum, traffic noise, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So, if low frequency noise is the big enemy outside a booth, how do the others stack up? Circumoral around the ear, are they better?
They generally offer more noise reduction than superorals, yeah. Better seal, usually.
Okay.
But even within that category, the sources show quite a bit of variation. Some designs, like the DD65V2 that's mentioned, seem to perform, well, quite a bit better than others, like a Sennheiser HDA300, at least in certain frequency ranges. It really depends on the specific design, the cushion, the clamping force.
Okay, so circumoral is better, but still a variable. Now, this is where it gets interesting for maybe solving that noise problem. Insert earphones. The sources mention things like EAR tone, radio ear IP30. They seem to do consistently well.
They do. And the reason is pretty straightforward. They go into the ear canal. They use a foam tip, usually, or sometimes silicone, that expands and seals the canal directly.
Ah, so it blocks the noise right there.
Exactly. It provides much better passive sound blocking attenuation compared to anything sitting on or around the outside of the ear. So, yeah, their MPLs are significantly higher across the board, usually, than the traditional headphone types.
Okay, inserts are good, but then there are these integrated systems designed specifically for testing without a booth. The CUDA Wave, the Wave ES system. The sources call these out as like top performers. What's their secret?
Well, often they use a kind of double barrier approach. They might have an outer cup, like a circumoral headphone, plus an inner ear tip, often an insert style tip.
Oh, okay. Best of both worlds.
Kind of. That combination gives a really big advantage in passive noise blocking, and the data reflects that. The CUDA Wave, specifically with the phone ear tips, it just dominates the M-panel table in the sources. It had the highest levels at 125, 250, 500, 1000, and 4000 hertz.
We're
That's test
still.
frequencies.
Wow. Especially those lower frequencies we keep talking about.
Precisely. That phone tip seal, combined with the outer cup, seems extremely effective against that common environmental noise. The WASA system also showed really strong results, particularly good at 125 hertz, according to the table. And, it's worth mentioning the DD65V2 circumoral wasn't completely left behind. It actually had the highest MPL at 2000 hertz and tied the CUDA Wave phone way up at 8000 hertz. So, still very capable at certain points.
Okay, so pulling all this together, what's the bottom line here for you, the listener, if you need to test hearing but maybe don't have access to a sound booth?
The bottom line is, the transducer you choose is absolutely critical. It's not just incidental equipment. It directly determines the maximum noise level your test environment can have before your results become compromised. If you use a headset with low impounds in a room that's too noisy for it, well, you're just not going to get accurate thresholds. The noise will mask the real hearing levels.
And this deep dive into the sources makes it pretty clear. If you need reliable testing outside that booth, then those integrated systems like the CUDA Wave or Waits, and generally insert earphones, offer the best bet. They give you the highest impedance, meaning the best chance for accurate results in less than perfect conditions.
Right. Knowing these impedance differences empowers you, really. It helps you pick the right tool for the job, for the specific environment you're working in. It's about ensuring that the hearing assessment you perform is trustworthy wherever it happens.
So if these technologies are making accurate hearing tests more feasible outside of traditional clinics and booths, where does that lead us? What are the next big steps, the next frontiers for getting reliable hearing tests to more people more easily? Something to think about.